The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org.
Become a monthly $25 contributor or an annual $250 donor, and we'll send you a flash drive of Pastor Whedon's broadcast transcripts. Learn more on the support page at thewordendures.org or by calling 618-223-8385.
Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Whedon.
And those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. Which we might paraphrase as, life goes on, but it no longer goes on as though this world were the be-all and end-all.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Whedon is leading us in a study of the book of 1 Corinthians.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Last podcast, St. Paul was basically comforting the people with the notion that they could remain in whatever callings they had received and serve God in those. Belonging to Jesus doesn't require a change of callings. Jews shouldn't try to erase their Jewishness, their circumcision, but nor should Gentiles feel compelled to act Jewish and accept circumcision. What counts is keeping God's commandments. And remember that that first commandment indeed is the fount of all the rest, and it demands of us faith. That is what it means to have no other gods, after all. But if you're a bondservant, Paul says, you're still free in Christ. And if you happen to be a freedman, guess what? You're actually Christ's bondservant. Still, if the bondservant can obtain his freedom, St. Paul encourages him to do so. But both bond and free have been purchased. A price paid for both, the blood of the Creator, of the Son of God. And so Paul doesn't want them being enslaved to any man, but truly to serve the Lord Jesus by joyfully fulfilling whatever their callings, because in them all they can abide and remain with God. A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning at the 25th verse. Now, concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who, by the Lord's mercy, is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 25 to 31. Let us pray. Lord, open now our hearts to hear, and through your word to us draw near. Let us your word e'er pure retain. Let us your children and heirs remain. Amen. Ready to dig into the word for today? Let's get to it, verse 25. Now concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. First thing to clear up is betrothed. The Greek word there is simply virgin, as the ESV footnote fesses up. Want to guess what the King James has? Yeah, virgin. You might be noticing a pattern there. But for a paraphrase, betrothed isn't bad, and I suspect that is the issue the apostle is addressing. Someone saying, "We were planning on getting hitched, St. Paul, but now we're not exactly sure whether we ought to go through with it." Again, St. Paul very carefully marks off that he'll offer his counsel as long as they understand that this is absolutely not a command from the Lord Jesus. They don't owe the apostles' words here absolute obedience. But they do wise to give them due consideration, since after all, St. Paul is one whom the Lord's mercy entrusted with the holy preaching office. So his counsel is that, in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. If you look at the ESV footnote again, you can see that instead of present distress, it can also be rendered impending distress. And I think that's more added. But what is he referring to? Was it a particular hard time on their immediate horizon there in Corinth? Or did St. Paul, expecting the Lord Jesus to return soon, think that the hard days of tribulation Jesus foretold before the end were at hand? I suspect the latter, but I don't know for sure. St. Paul's teaching on the end time always balances these two aspects of Jesus' discourse in Matthew 24 and 25. First, it will come unexpectedly on the world like a trap. Folks in the world won't be looking for it. See 1 Thessalonians 5:3. But second, it will be preceded by times of great difficulty and trial and distress for Christ's faithful people. See 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. So, St. Paul's counsel is just good to stay the way you are, folks. That is, in a state of virginity. Ambrosiaster, in his 4th century commentary on 1 Corinthians, notes, "Here Paul teaches that virginity is better, not just because it's more pleasing to God, but also because it's the more sensible course to follow in the present end-time circumstances." Verse 27. "Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife." The advice seems to be along the lines then of, "There's a storm heading our way. To weather it, stand to your post and do what you've been given to do, but don't make plans on a future that might not come to you anyway." So the married should stay that way. The single should stay that way. But remember, all this is only advice, not any of it a command from Jesus. And so St. Paul immediately clarifies, for the sake of their consciences, verse 28, "But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that." Marriage is holy. It's not sinful. And changing their vocation from engaged to wedded will not in any way be something that's displeasing to God. Not at all. St. Paul makes it clear why he is giving this advice. Those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. So what are those worldly troubles he's talking about here? He doesn't just mean troubles in general, for after all, Jesus could not have been more clear that for all his own it's true, John 16, verse 33, "In the world you will have tribulation." The apostle, of course, had troubles aplenty, but he means being occupied with the things of this life, making a living, concern for shelter and food and warmth, protection for wife and children, all that attends the birth and rearing of children, the tending of sick members of the family, and so on. Now, all these are holy vocations as they grow out of marriage, but they do have a tendency to focus one's attention precisely on this world, and he would spare them such worries if he could. Verse 29. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none. What does he mean? The appointed time has grown very short. Ambrosi asked her again. Paul means by this that the end of the world is coming soon. Much of the New Testament shows that lively expectation which Jesus himself invites us to. The problem is, of course, that our soon and God's soon are not the same. As St. Peter reminds us, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. So, from the Lord's perspective, hey, it's only been 2 days. Or said better, God's experience of time, it's obviously vastly different from our own. The urgency, though, implicit in this passage, remains throughout the past 2,000 years, and even if our Lord delays another 1,000 years. But what did St. Paul mean by, from now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none? No, I don't think he means ignore your wife and her needs. He'd already precluded doing that earlier in the chapter. I think he means simply that you and your wife ought to live your lives with the end always in view, and not allow the concerns of this life to eclipse that in any way. And I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come, is how the church confesses this in the Nicene Creed. Verse 30. And those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. Which we might paraphrase as, life goes on, but it no longer goes on as though this world were the be-all and end-all. Death remains horrible, but we're a people who look to the resurrection. Joys in this world are real, but they can never make us want to settle down here as though this world in its current state were paradise and all that we could desire. Sure, we'll still shop and decorate our homes and yards and all that, but we are called to do even those things as people who had no goods, because after all, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, Psalm 24, verse 1. It's all his, it's not ours, and so we don't own one single thing. We're just stewards of his rich bounties, and we know for our use of it, we'll have to give an account to him. And so in our every dealing with the world, the apostle calls us to be as those who had no dealings with it. Hear that as no attachments to it. It's not like any of it is lasting after all, which is his final point, verse 31 continuing, for the present form of this world is passing away. Present form. Remember how 2 Peter 3:13 talks about how all that we see in this world will be dissolved, and there will be a new, or maybe better, renewed heaven and earth. I think by speaking of the present form of this world, rather than just saying this present world is passing away, St. Paul is actually safeguarding the doctrine of the resurrection, which he'll be going into in detail in the 15th chapter. This world is like your body, growing older by the year, a bit more decrepit. And like your body, it's destined to come to an end. This world will die. But God's joyous work of resurrection, it literally embraces not just you and your body. It embraces the cosmos itself. Behold, I make all things new, says the risen one. Not that he makes new things. He makes all things new. He will raise even this world from its demise under sin and the power of Satan and death, and he will release it into the freedom of the sons of God. Check it out, Romans 8, verse 21. Resurrection, you see, it's not just the destiny of mankind. That's where we're going to wrap it up for today, people loved by God. Next up, St. Paul will wrap up the matter of marriage and reiterate his counsel as counsel and why he thinks being single is a better choice than being married, but not the only God-pleasing choice by any stretch. Till then, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.